from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
We are halfway home on a Friday. It has been, well, my favorite Friday in many, many, many years. I feel so much love for you guys and from you guys. Thank you so much, Paulie and Benny and Adam, for the lengths that you've gone to make me smile and laugh on my birthday. It is not, it certainly is. I don't even have the words, man. I'm just, this is incredible. Incredible. Thank you guys so very much. Thank you to all the tier ones out there that are you know, wishing me happy birthday on Twitter. It's a great day, man. Like, getting old is tough, but you guys make it infinitely easier. And I just appreciate you all so much. So much. Can't even tell you.
All right. The graphics just changed on our YouTube stream from summer break back to the official Ben and Woods show.
Yeah.
Because we're back. Baseball is back tonight, and our guests are back. First guest of kind of officially of the week, at least baseball talk. Joining us right now on a grand old Friday from Cespedes Family Barbecue. There he is. Jordan Schusterman is back with us. Jordan, finished with your All-Star experience. Tell me everything.
Tell
us the whole story.
Oh, man. All right. So got it on Thursday, and then we talked to prospects on Friday, and then we saw the Futures game, and then we saw the draft, and then we saw the Homer Derby, then we saw the All-Star game, and then we went home.
Perfect.
Yay! All right, best done. Best part, worst part.
Ooh, best part, worst part. I'm a draft dork, so I love the draft. I think the draft at the Fort Worth Stockyards, I don't know if you guys have ever been there as like Texas tourists.
Oh, yeah.
But what a goofy, thematic way to do it. Like, I loved it. I thought it was really cool. I think that that's how it was the perfect size for leaning into an event like that. So I really enjoyed that. Worst part, I mean, you know, the Derby wasn't the best.
Agreed. I mean, the last 5 minutes were great if you sat through the first 3 hours and 55 minutes.
Jordan, I know that you and Jake are like the biggest baseball heads on the planet and put the rest of us to shame. I know you have thoughts about it. I know how you could make it better personally. If they would just give you the keys, what would you do to make the Derby better?
I wouldn't change that much. I think that we might have just had a clunker. Like, I think that, like, the guys that we were excited about, Gunnar Henderson, you know, Pete, some of these guys didn't show up in ways that we expected. So I don't want to, and I know because there were some small format tweaks that it felt like it was so much worse. I just think we need to condense it all a little bit. Either have the rounds slightly shorter, either have a couple fewer hitters, either have two rounds instead of three. I don't think we need to change too much. I really do think, listen, we've been to every Derby since 2016, and this one felt like the most lackluster, but it also reminds us that, like, normally you have really, really memorable moments, and you at least have individual rounds, even if it's not the actual winner that you remember for a long time. And this time, ultimately, fittingly, what we'll remember the most is that last swing that wasn't a home run, right? And so as happy as I am for Teoscar Hernandez, and I think Bobby Witt Jr. did do pretty well, and it was pretty exciting to watch him when he was getting going. We just didn't kind of find that rhythm. We didn't have that hot streak, that ridiculous stretch that we've seen in recent years from guys like Vlad, guys like Julio.
It's just hard when you know there are guys, Shohei Ohtani is there, but not participating, and Aaron Judge is there. But not participating, I don't know that I'll ever feel excited about it when I know the real home run hitters are just sitting and watching. And the same thing with the basketball slam dunk contest. You know, when it's not Jordan and Dominique Wilkins and you don't know who these guys are, it's not quite the same.
No, for sure. And of course, we wish that there were more participation from some of the top guys. But I also would say that, like, Bobby Witt and Gunnar Henderson are two of the rising stars in the game. Yep. Like, it's not an insignificant thing that they competed. And Bobby was great. Gunnar wasn't, you know, and it happens. So I don't know. I don't want to overreact too much to this one, but I also don't want to pretend like it wasn't disappointing, because I would say that even in the yard, and definitely talking to people that watched it at home, it was a little bit lackluster.
It was long. It was just kind of long and drawn out a little bit, much like this show can be sometimes.
True.
We're talking 100%. We're talking to our pal Jordan Schutzman from Cespedes Family Barbecue. So here we go, man. Second half starts right now for the Padres. It's a little bit less than half. They've already played 99 games. You know, we talked about it yesterday on our Padres roundtable. Bit of a razor's edge here for our team in San Diego. Of course, AJ Preller has made moves every deadline. He's always active. Kind of what are you hearing, Padres or otherwise, about an active or inactive trade market this year?
I mean, I would say I very much expect them to be active. I expect them to be aggressive in adding. I think that they are one of the better teams in this NL wildcard mess. However, good timing, guys. I'm going to go see them this weekend. They're in Cleveland.
Nice.
I will be there. Nice. I will be there this afternoon. I don't know if I'll be there for the game this afternoon, but I will definitely be there pregame. And I am excited to be around the Padres and kind of see how they're feeling. Last year when I saw them, it was like the bottom of their season in Cincinnati. I think this year, obviously the timing coming out of the All-Star break, it's almost like, you know, another spring training where everyone's like, all right, here we go. We all feel awesome, fresh slate, whatever. And the Padres, even having fallen out of that third wild card spot, I think still have reasons to be feeling pretty good. But yeah, I mean, there's certainly holes here. And when you have this mess in the National League where I think more teams are going to be tempted to sell, I think they are a team that will take advantage of the opposite, right? They will be like, listen, I'm AJ Preller. We're the Padres. We just keep going forward and forward and forward. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. And I think that might benefit them. Now, at the same time, this is not a market that is going to be very easy to buy in. And so that is what is going to be difficult. And I think it will probably, we saw them already jump it earlier this season with the Arise trade. This time, I'm fascinated to see how long it takes some of these teams to finally be willing to let loose. Like, the Marlins, for example, we just recorded a deadline preview this morning. Will the Marlins do the same thing as they did with Arise and make a trade in the next couple of days? Or will they take it down all the way to the wire and then take the best bid at that point? And I think the Padres, we could see them outbid some other teams and jump ahead of the line, or they're just going to end up stuck with everybody else just waiting until those last couple
of
days.
Well, Jordan, it's that weird time of year, and you talk about teams being tempted to sell. And I think with the Padres, as you know, we're always tempted to buy, and AJ Preller is, you know, head down, moving forward. I don't know how much the next 5-6 games matter. I think there's a plan kind of in place, and I think they're going to add as well. But there's so many teams, like you said, tempted to sell. But if you're the Pittsburgh Pirates and you're 48-48, you're the Cincinnati Reds and you got guys coming back, you're the Arizona Diamondbacks, the San Francisco Giants. Those are those teams where it's the New York Mets. Like, are we going to, if you're a New York Met fan, you cannot stomach
every
them
one of those
rid
teams
of
would get killed by their fan bases if they sell right now, right?
Right? And they would get murdered.
Yeah, the Mets are the one that I am just so fascinated by, because generally I agree with you, except that the Mets, the way that Steve Cohen has talked, the way that the fans have generally bought into the Stearns vision of like an actual, like, be patient, let for it to come together. I've been saying this since before the season. Like, I don't understand how you could be the Mets and have this many good players, this many good veteran players,
yeah,
and go backwards, right? But I don't know, man. If they're thinking big picture, they might do it. But I agree with you in general, though, that a lot of these fan bases, yeah, it's got to be really hard. Now, I do think that there's a difference between going backwards and staying put. I think even teams like the Pirates, to me, I kind of see them the same way as the Reds last year, where it's like, all right, are we actually good? We're feeling good because we have a lot of young players that are coming up and making us feel better. But are we actually going for it? Now, the Reds, you said last year, if they had done more, you could have said they might have snuck in. Right? Yeah. They were still alive at the end of the season
100%.
Last year. So you're probably going to end up with some of those teams here at the same point. But, man, San Francisco, I mean, you can't, they can't go backwards. I don't know how good they actually are, but they've invested way too much in this. You could maybe say the same thing about the Cubs. Although they maybe seem a little bit more willing to just say, this isn't working, we got to reset. It's too many teams there. Some of those are going to have to make a decision. And I do think that the next 10 days are going to tell us a lot. And as for the Padres, just looking at the schedule, I'm sure you guys have kind of noted this. It does set up pretty interestingly, right? We got a 10-game road trip or 9-game road trip. And then you come home on deadline day to face the Dodgers.
It's amazing.
That is a pretty amazing schedule setup. Guardians first, of course, one of the best teams in the AL. Nationals, that's an opportunity. But then Baltimore right before the deadline. So this is going to be a challenging trip. It's going to be really interesting to see where it puts them. But I still expect, as long as they don't go 2-8 over their next 10 or 9, like,
which
they will be adding in something.
I feel like we're putting so much emphasis on a July road trip. But at the same time, if it all unravels on you coming out of the gate like, you could go from buyers to sellers even. Like,
yeah, but the problem is, like, besides Kim, I don't really know who you're trading. Like, the Padres are not, there are some of these other teams that have so many expiring contracts that are just like, all right, like, just tell me when and I'll
it's not going to happen, right? Jordan, but I mean, the most valuable commodities would be pitchers with more than 1 year of control.
Dylan Cease, Michael King.
Yes. I mean, they would return an absolute truckload. Yeah. But of course, the Padres aren't going to trade him because they need both of those guys
and more.
If they're going for it and they have to go for it. But I'm just saying, in a hypothetical world, those guys would immediately be two of the most hot commodities on a trade market. Talking to Jordan Schusterman. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, and we have seen, obviously, they've made big trades and then traded those guys away. I don't have to tell you guys that. And then the other obvious one, guys, I don't even want to talk about this. They will be in it. They will be adding. I'm just saying, there's another guy in a 1 year contract who was just an all star making like $0. So that would be the other
one. I know.
But, you know, that's not one in a market where there's no hitters. But also at this point, I'm not convinced Jurickson Profar is going to play well anywhere else.
Yeah, I mean, I fully agree with you.
Can we convince Jurickson of that, just to get the brainwashed? You have only one place where you can possibly play, so we don't have to pay you that much.
Yeah, because he is made for San Diego.
Yeah, one spot. Jordan, you mentioned the Dodgers.
Yeah.
And, I mean, not just the Padres, but if I'm the Diamondbacks or the Giants right now, I'm kind of kicking myself.
All
because this is as vulnerable and as disappointing as they have ever really been in the last decade, until the playoffs, obviously, but in the regular season. And none of those teams are taking advantage of it. I mean, they only have a 7-game lead, but it just still feels like they're too far away. I mean, is this going to go down as one of the most disappointing seasons, the way the Padres and Mets were last year for the Dodgers this year, even if they do make the playoffs? I guess if they make a run, they're not going to care, but...
Yeah, no, but I agree with you, and Jake and I kind of got into this a bit off the podcast because he saw them in Philly and he was like, this team stinks. And I was like, yeah, like, fair. And I saw them in Pittsburgh and Cincinnati and they were terrible. And I've only seen the Dodgers look bad. And I'm like, yeah. But also, we are at the point now with them where they're so injured where it's like, it's not the team we were talking about.
Right.
Like, it's just not the team we were hyping up is not on the field right now. And so that doesn't mean that it's not going to end up being really disappointing if they win 91 games. But it's different to me than if we're looking at all these players that we were hyping up and they were underperforming. Because the truth is, Mookie was amazing. Glasnow was amazing. Yamamoto was really, really figuring it out before he got hurt, right? Like, Muncy was having another great season before he went down. So we kind of did see it there. That team was looking like the Dodgers it was hyped up to be in May. and then they all got hurt. And there are obviously problems with this roster too, right? Like the bottom of the lineup, even when they were playing well, is still atrocious.
Yeah, so terrible.
I think that there are still reasons to kind of criticize and say that they've disappointed in some elements. But generally, I just feel like it's whatever version we're watching of them now is just not. Now, if that version is still the one we're watching in September and October, then yeah, that's a problem. Right. But as it stands now, I don't even really feel comfortable analyzing them in that way. At the same time, what you can still say is, yeah, this is a massive missed opportunity for the other three teams, because when else would you be able to have them, you know, struggling to this degree? And you would hope that they could make it a little bit interesting. We haven't had an interesting, obviously 21 was, you know, singular, but besides that, we have not had anything remotely interesting, you know, compelling. It felt like we had one division race for the decade was essentially 21. And other than that, it has been non-competitive in terms of trying to win the NL West.
Last thing for me, Jordan, quickly. We were talking about the 2025 schedule that came out. Padres in April have ATH, a road trip to ATH, yep. Which is apparently the Athletics that are going to be, we think, in Sacramento.
Yeah,
I heard some reports though this week that like there are buyers in Oakland who want to keep the team in Oakland, and Major League Baseball is trying to keep it quiet because they don't want people to know that. Yeah, no, Oakland wants to support this team. They just don't want to support John Fisher. How is this going to play out in your mind?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Manfred spoke earlier this week and he was like, no, like the decision's been made, you know, full steam ahead. We're doing this. We're going to Sacramento. Oakland is over. Oakland is a thing of the past. And that seems to be how MLB is treating it. And I think the reason they can do that is because, unfortunately, they know John Fisher ain't going anywhere, right? I'm sure there are rich people in Oakland that would like to do something about it. I don't even think that's really new information. I think we've known that there have been Bay Area people that have tried to buy them from John Fisher for years. And he's like, no, it's not happening. So I think that is what is keeping Manfred so steadfast, because there's only one person that's actually hearing from John Fisher regularly, and it's Rob Manfred, right? There's no one else that's really accessing this guy on a regular basis. And so he's basically just responding to what he's hearing from the owner, which is, you know, one of his 30 bosses. And so it's really unfortunate for a lot of reasons. There's a lot of concerns about how baseball is going to look in Sacramento. But that's my read on it, is it's just the outside stuff doesn't matter. This has been true for John Fisher for a long time.
Yeah.
You could do all you want. He clearly does not care. He's going to move forward with whatever plan, you know, he has, unfortunately.
Well, and it also sounds like the league, like I'm thinking about when the NFL moved a couple of the teams to Los Angeles, they wanted that market so bad they were just going to be like, la, 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 la.
Blinders, man. Like, just la, la, la. Yep.
MLB right. wants Vegas. Like,
yep.
Yeah, they're like, it doesn't make any sense. Like, oh, who cares? Like, we're going. Like, we're
some guys. No one wants for everything.
No one wants
pocket?
The Chargers nah. in Los Angeles. We don't care. We're going. Yeah, we are going to be there.
That's what this is now for Vegas. Except we have this weird Sacramento interval.
Yeah,
right?
No one in Vegas really wants the A's.
I know, but like they're convinced that like this is where we need to go next. But you can't do it tomorrow in the way that, you know, we've seen it in the NFL in a more real way.
Jordan, appreciate it. Enjoy Cleveland. Bring some good luck to the Padres. If you want, put a hex on like Stephen Kwan or something right. for us. And we'll talk to you again in a couple of weeks.
Stephen Kwan is going to piss you guys off.
He's hexless, man. I know. He's hexless. He's so good.
I just want to see a rise, both at their peak, and Kwan just going back and forth.
So good.
With their bat skills. Thanks, Jordan.
It'll be fun. Thank you, buddy. Guys.
Jordan Schusterman, Cespedes Family Barbecue, regular Friday guest here on Ben and Woods. Yeah, I mean, there were people in San Diego who would have happily bought the Chargers from Dean Spanos, kept him here, and figured out a stadium solution. But Dean wasn't ever going to sell the team.
No, the hoops that Manfred and MLB are jumping through for this team to get to Vegas, it's astounding. I mean, it really is astounding. They are just steamrolling right ahead. And, you know, again, though, you have to have a place to play in Las Vegas. You have to have buy-in and want to and all of that. And it could go terribly, terribly south. I don't think it will. I think they'll find a way to get there in the next 5 years or whatever, but it's going to be
leagues are relentless.
Well,
just
relentless.
Because you
like,
get
I went
there. Back to 2008 when my beloved Seattle Sonics were sold and moved to Oklahoma City. They chose Oklahoma City over a major market Seattle. But when the league gets it in their brains, you cannot negotiate.
Yeah.
There is no turning back.
Getting there isn't the end game.
It's succeeding. And
you've got to get there and then build a fan base and a winner and, you know, fill seats all summer long in 110-degree weather. That's just... I mean, getting there is easy, actually, for baseball. They just, as Paul said, just put your head down and just get there. But that's not the goal. That's not the goal. It's disappointing.
It is.
I mean, I've got, obviously, the post-traumatic stress of the Chargers, and it clouds my view of this. But I think most people agree.
I think it doesn't cloud your view. Yeah. It's crystal clear. I mean, you've lived it, so you have the experience.
All right, we'll take a quick timeout. We'll come back. We got a Rindle Report on the way. And then Mike Schilt at the top of the hour with the Manager's Report on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey, and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
All right, I know our company has gotten through some of the outages that have hit everybody today, but it seems like it's going to be a pretty gnarly Friday. I mean, I told you last night, I didn't get to bed until almost 1 because of all the technical difficulties and everything we had to get through. So I am trying to get through until at least 10 o'clock this morning. But we had a fun show today.
We've had a really good show. Got an hour and a half left.
On that note, though, with the outage, a lot of people maybe still kind of waking up and figuring out what happened overnight. It was a global Microsoft outage.
Yeah, CrowdStrike and Microsoft.
Pretty significant deal. I was reading earlier that like planes had to be no takeoffs.
Planes, trains, and automobiles.
Yeah, everybody was grounded. But we had a couple of people reach out through social media saying there might have been some issues trying to download the podcast of today's show, like after the fact. all I can say is, like, there was a massive, massive outage. Things are mostly running back to normal right now, but some parts of our show may be impacted still, and just hang tight.
Hang tight. Everyone's talking about the blue screen of death that everyone was getting. Like, you try to log on, whatever, just blue is what you get on your computer screen.
Damn, dude.
I've been told it was a relatively simple fix, at least in the building here. Very tedious, having to go to every single computer that was affected. But at
remember
least they
Y2K?
Were able.
And everyone was afraid that everything was going to happen.
I had to volunteer. Well, they took, I was the new guy at my very first job out of college, Y2K. And I had to go in on, remember when it was? It was New Year's Day. 1999 is ending. The year 2000 is starting. So do you think I blew it out that night?
Once, maybe? Had one or two?
In Chicago that night. And then had to drag my ass to the office at 9 a.m. on a Saturday or whatever it was to go in and make sure all the computers turned. And that was, it was excruciating. It was an excruciating morning. And I did it.
I mean, everyone was really nervous.
It was
that it was, everything it, was going to collapse. The, society was going to be over.
It was the biggest zero. Nothing happened. Nothing. Nothing. Not one damn thing. Everything, boom, switched, and everyone's fine and good to go.
It's almost like it was a normal
It was
night.
Like a normal day. And I'm like, I had to get out of bed for this. And I did.
And now we found out Y2K actually happens on July 19th, 2024.
On my birthday.
On Woods' 49th birthday.
Nuts. Nuts. Got a Rindle report?
We will do a Rindle report. We got to take a quick break, and then we will come back. Paulie's got some headlines. You got a Disneyland story for us?
Oh, yeah.
As Paulie does. All right, we'll get to that coming up, and then the manager's report with Mike Schilt in 30 minutes. Don't go anywhere. More Bennett Woods on the way on San Diego's station, 97.3 The Fan. Some big numbers at the Open Championship. Tiger missing the cut at 14 over. Haven't seen a lot of 14 overs next to Tiger's name in the last 30 years. There's one guy who's doing even worse, though. Dead last place belongs to Japan's Aguri Iwasaki. He made two nines in a row on the back nine today. One on a par four, one on a par three. He is not going to break 50 on the back or 90 in his round. And he's currently a 20 over for the tournament.
That's how nasty it is out there.
Yeah,
nine on a par three.
This is one of the harder courses in the Rota, as they do at the British. Troon is really tough, and when the wind blows, and apparently it's been blowing, big numbers. But Shane Lowry still leads at 7 under by 2 over Dan Brown, who's in, got through with the 72. So
amazing.
The unknown guy is going to be in probably the last group. On a Saturday, Justin Rose 3 under, and then Billy Horschel, Dean Burmester, and Scotty Scheffler at 2 under. Xander Schauffele, part of a group at 1 under par in the final major of the year. All right, we're going to check traffic. Then when we come back, Paulie's going to have some headlines for us on the Rindle Report.
And get things started here with our edition, today's edition the Rindle Report.
Now tuned into the greatest.
Welcome to the Rindle Report with Paul Rindle.
Hi, Paul.
All right.
Two stories from the world of sports that we haven't gotten to yet.
We'll start off in Major League Baseball.
And one story that you didn't know you needed.
Are you laughing, biatch?
It's the Rindle Report.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Okay, how are you?
On 97.3 The Fan.
Are you ready to bless the mood? I need some help, please.
That was good.
Can I get a
All right. Be careful out there on the roads, guys.
Holy smokes, I know, man. Kelly's had long updates, and I've been kind of in and out as we go to commercial break. But she just said four fatalities in this big accident that happened.
That's heartbreaking,
the 163.
Man. That is heartbreaking.
Yeah, that is very sad.
Please be careful out there. It's not wherever you got to get to.
Take your time.
There's also a barbecue on the road.
That is wild.
Also not as tragically sad, but certainly dangerous odd. And odd.
A barbecue on the road.
Yeah. So not a ladder.
Left a barbecue.
Some idiot is started by having
like
a barbecue.
Grilling things up in the fast lane right now.
Hold on. A barbecue is a grill. I thought she said there was like somebody barbecuing.
No, like their
a grill fell out
like
of the
their
back
Weber
of the truck.
Grill fell out of the truck.
That's called a grill, though.
We call it a barbecue too.
But you go to a barbecue or you eat barbecue.
You put ribs on the barbecue or
you put ribs on
the
grill.
On the
no, you put steak on the grill.
I think they're interchangeable, at least in Southern California. You're a Texas person.
I thought
so.
You're literally,
on the West Coast, buddy.
I'm not kidding. I thought there was there was traffic and somebody's like, I'll just have a barbecue here
just
on the side of the road.
Patties and no.
Yeah.
In between lights.
Yeah. Huh. I'm not real
smoking
bright.
Some brisket right now.
I mean, that's when I hear barbecue, that's what I hear.
You want side dishes when you hear barbecue.
Well, yeah, but I thought it, so what I would have said is there's a grill. Somebody lost their grill.
A barbecue grill.
A barbecue grill.
A barbecue grill.
You could probably. Okay. I knew what she was talking about. I did not think that there was a guy.
I did.
Hosting a, have a beer while wait for the corn to be done.
Like our people at Grand Ole Barbecue set up off the 15.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, there's a grill.
No. Someone had one probably in the back of their truck, and it fell out, and now it's in the freeway.
Barbecue sounds so good.
Sorry, we're interrupting the Rindle
Report. We're hijacking the Rindle Report. Sorry about
speaking
that.
Speaking of barbecues and burgers, my first story is a local story, and it's for you, Woodsy. It's your birthday.
It is my birthday.
I saw that the San Diego Seals have re-signed the captain, Wes Berg.
Happy Berg Day.
Happy Berg Day to me.
Berger's staying around for three years. It says here he's coming off his season. He had 108 points last year. That was the second most in team history.
He's an unreal human being, number one. He is everything that a captain should be in sports. Nobody plays harder. When you meet him, you're like, hey, how you doing? And then you see him on the floor, and he is... Like a cobra. Like he will just kill you. Like he's so tough. And he told me the greatest story, how he grew up in Canada. His dad, he has an older brother. And I think there's a 3-year difference. And his dad said to him, he goes, look, Wes, when he's a kid, he's like 6. And he's like, I know you want to play lacrosse. Your brother plays lacrosse. You better play up with him because I'm not going to two things on the weekend. So if you want to play lacrosse, you're going to play up with the old guys. He goes, I got my ass kicked every day forever playing up with the old guys. He goes, but it sharpened me into the player I am. And he is an elite player.
Glad
and an
he's
elite
be back.
Person. Me too. Me
side,
too.
Side question, because you mentioned that he's like a cobra. What's the scariest snake? Is it a cobra? Is it a rattlesnake? Is it cobra. An anaconda?
A cobra. They'd all, stick their heads up and...
All of the above.
Asps. Very dangerous.
Yeah.
I think the ones that are in the water.
Oh,
those are like the...
Water
like
snake.
Water moccasins. Those, to me, are the scariest snakes.
They
swim
through
and
there.
They slither through the water. That creeps me out. But the way the cobra's, like...
The head.
Raises up, that's pretty scary,
bro,
too.
Bro, I would evacuate. Like
it's like looking at you. Like
those
the
cobra.
They play the music and they come out of the baskets. I mean,
and they strike.
I assume that's a horrible like stereotype of something.
No,
like,
I've seen it in the movies.
You see it in the movies,
but God, it's terrible. Yeah, king cobra, man.
That's the scariest snake.
Some of them spit, they said. Spitting cobra. He spits at you. I'll pass.
Just D. All of the above.
Yeah, all of the above.
All right.
I'm good. I am good. Like, if I go to the zoo, I just avoid
the snake
the reptiles
thing.
And the
reptile
snakes.
House
I don't
of reptiles.
I'm out.
I love going through because there's glass and you're safe and you can see them.
I'm good. I don't need to see them. I don't need to know that they exist more than I already do. All right. Trying to find some sports stories this week. It's been pretty light, but, baseball returns tonight. NFL training camp around the corner. We'll have some better Rindle Report stories. But in the NBA, I did see there was a sign and trade. The rare sign and trade involving Russell Westbrook, who I feel like has played on half the teams in the NBA at this
yes,
point.
He's the village bicycle of the NBA.
He has played on a lot of teams. So he actually, I had to look it up. He was drafted by the Seattle Sonics, but never played a game for them because they were relocated after the draft that summer. So he played for Oklahoma City. He played for Houston. He played for the Wizards. He played for the Lakers for a couple years. And he was previously with the Clippers. And then he was traded to Utah.
The Jazz, yeah.
But they're doing a sign and trade. So Utah is going to
flip
waive
him.
waive him and buy out his contract, and then they're going to trade him to Denver.
Or he's going to sign with Denver.
He will sign with Denver.
Okay.
And he's going to be a Nugget now and team up with Jokic and Murray and try to make another run.
Get him back
NBA
to
finals.
The championship after not winning the one last year.
Nice. All right. It's a lot of stops for Russ.
Very polarizing player.
Yeah.
Remember,
you hate him.
I don't hate him.
You hate him. I remember.
I don't.
The triple-double bit. You hated it.
The triple-double bit is a bit much. But again, some of the triple-double comes with, you know, assists and rebounds. They're always good things. But somehow, I don't feel like his teams ever are that great. The Lakers weren't that great when he was on their team. It just
like Mike Trout.
The best was like the early Oklahoma City was probably the best version.
He averaged it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had just started on the show, I think.
MVP averaged a triple-double.
That's bananas.
Over the course of 82 games. But, you know, the naysayers will say, well, what did you do in the playoffs? So how does your team do?
Right.
And it kind of sucks because he does not have
that. That Hall of Fame question for him is going to be an interesting one because the numbers will certainly be there.
God, what's he been?
But I feel like there's going to be some people that go, really, Russ?
How much he got left in the tank, man? That's a long career.
And he plays hard.
Plays hard.
He just goes at 110 miles an hour. All right, and then finally, I did tell you that there was a Disneyland story. Now, this made me
I love
laugh.
A sweet is, Disneyland story.
Kind of sweet. So, Disneyland is celebrating their anniversary. They opened July 17th, 1955. That was
They're
two
older
days
than
ago.
You are.
They are older than me. Yeah,
a little 20 older. Years older than you.
Yeah.
How old are they, Woods?
They're 69.
That would be 69 years old.
Congratulations. I hope I see 69.
Now, I did see they're offering for residents of Anaheim.
Okay.
They're bringing back like the residents special. You can get a park pass for $69.
Not bad.
It's pretty nice, actually.
Real nice. Move to Anaheim, but okay.
Gotta live in Anaheim.
Deal. Worth it to move to Anaheim for just a $69 pass.
Yeah, you go to Angels Games, I guess.
Angels Games, yeah.
But then,
Ducks.
There's been some discussion because typically they will say, you know, it's the 50th anniversary, the 60th anniversary of Disneyland. They're going to have merch, you know, mugs, t-shirts, sweatshirts, whatever, with the number throughout the year,
sure.
Like celebrating the anniversary. Well, Disney. Now, this is not official. It's just kind of speculation. Swirling around on the internet, but everybody is saying that Disneyland doesn't want a bunch of merch with 69th anniversary on it. So they are calling it the Road to 70. Disneyland's Road to 70.
How juvenile.
They're just
going to
spend the whole next year
on the road.
Pre-gaming their 70th anniversary.
I'm on the road to 50, as right now, starting today. The road to 50.
Road to 50.
I'm not 49.
That's
on the road to 50.
First of all, you can always just say it's our 70th year in existence because technically,
well, that doesn't fit on a T-shirt very well.
Well, I know, but
70th
Disneyland,
year
it's
in
our 70th
Disneyland's 70th year. Like Woods, this is now your 50th year.
Correct.
On the planet,
correct.
Woodsy's 50th year all year long.
It's my road to 50.
I think they're screwing up.
I think they are too.
I haven't been to Disneyland in a few years. I'll probably go at some point in the next few years. If they sold Disneyland merch, like t-shirts or whatever, that said 69th anniversary,
everyone's buying
GD
them.
GD right, I'm buying one.
Troy Aikman already took out a trademark on that number two,
Everybody would buy it.
Yeah.
People that wouldn't normally buy Disney merch will buy it.
That's what they don't really want that, though. They have lots
of
money.
Who likes selling merch?
Disneyland is good at selling merch. They're protecting the brand.
There's nothing where it's just a number.
Right. I think they're worried that other people might misuse the brand and the number.
Yeah. Again,
you know,
in a
way that is out of the context that they intended it.
Disneyland didn't officially announce that or anything like that.
They're calling it the Road to 70, it leads you one to speculate that they don't want to put
Around it, 69 trying to avoid it. And then the speculation was, you know, from a bunch of Disney people were like, look, they don't want to embrace that.
No. All right. Yeah.
It made me laugh.
I mean, it's a bit overrated.
Disneyland?
Nope. There's a lot going on. It's hard to focus.
Oh.
Part of the challenge.
I think he means the other.
That is. It is part of the challenge. It's not the greatest.
Usually I can just go to a break after something like that, but I can't.
6 minutes or something. 5 minutes.
I can't. This is now a difficult spot you've put me in.
I didn't put you anywhere.
Paulie put me in this difficult spot then.
I'm just reading the news, man.
Oh.
I mean, it is your
sports
birthday.
Headline.
It's my birthday.
Sports headline. Find sports headline.
Johnny said, I thought summer break was over.
You see Brandon Ayuk requesting a trade from the 49ers, Woods?
I did.
Luckily, the gold rush was in 1949 and not 1969.
That's right.
Or 1849 and not 1869. Man, we'd have an awkwardly named NFL team.
He's digging himself in. He's so uncomfortable right now.
So glad Mike Schilt's in Cleveland and definitely not listening right now.
Yeah. The nice little write-up on the skipper, Mike
Schilt. That
was. Schilt.
Yeah, good. There's a segue, Anita. Thank you, Woods. Perfect. Yes. Nice little write-up on specifically the success that Mike Schilt has had post-All-Star break. Second half of the season when he was manager of the Cardinals. They had a number of runs, not just the one you remember where they stole a playoff spot from the Padres by winning 17 in a row. There at the end of what the 2021 season,
yep.
But he's always had a good record post All-Star break for Mike Schilt managed ball clubs.
Well, there was a the write up in the UT this morning, and it was talking to the guys that really count. It starts. Kevin Acey writes a piece. It says last month was not a particularly good time for Manny Machado at the plate, and he was clearly tired of the discomfort physically, the failure emotionally. His voice resonated with frustration, and he was asked what kept him going, what kept him believing. He said, Schilty, honestly, is a big factor in this. He's been huge in talking to me about it. That is that it's about the long haul. Just keep working. Don't think about today. Don't think about the 0-for-4 or the losses, whatever. Just keep working. Bjerkson Profar in the same article was like, I love him. I absolutely love him. He believes in us. And they did say,
Joe
Musgrove said, we've gotten our asses chewed a few times this year, which, again, he's never going to tell
which
you.
Which will surprise some people because of how relentlessly
positive
and supportive he is publicly. But we've always kind of suspected.
We've suspected it. And
that
again,
things are a little different behind closed doors.
Bro, The thing that makes the most sense in my head when I think of Mike Schilt and his players is me and my kids. I have absolutely chewed their asses out. Absolutely.
But you'll tell us about it then.
I'll tell you about it. I'll tell you guys about it. He will not.
He won't tell us about it. Is he doing himself a disservice? Because fans would love to hear, 5-game losing streak, not playing well.
I lit him up.
I had some things to say to that team in the locker room after the game. He won't tell us that.
But
even though he is telling them that.
But he gives back. He gives love and knows when to drop the hammer. No one's going to listen to a guy, after everything that's happened here, no one's going to listen to a guy that walks in day one. He's like, oh, that's my way. You better listen to me. Like, not at this level. It just doesn't work unless it's a team full of rookies. That's the only thing that's going to work on. But when you got veterans that have been doing this for 10 plus years, it's just not going to fly. And as I've said all week, don't get it twisted. All of that means nothing, unless they figure out a way to make the playoffs. But the guys are certainly pulling for their skipper. That is something very, very new that we have not heard any glowing reviews about any manager since we've started the Ben and Woods program.
Ultimately, if you want to keep your job as a Major League Baseball manager, yes, there have been some managers who've lost the fan base and eventually it becomes a problem. But first person you don't want to tick off is the owner. The second person you probably don't want to tick off is the general manager, Bob Melvin. And then after that, it's the players. The fans are well down the list of people that you need to please as the manager of a baseball team. And Mike Schilt does understand that. He knows he appreciates the fans and knows that the organization needs them. But for his job in particular, what the fans think of Mike Schilt is fairly irrelevant.
Correct.
I believe.
Correct. I do too. I really, really do. And again, you can appreciate that certainly. And He's not going to pander to the fans, but what he will do is take care of his players. And again, this article that came out today, it's a positive article because he's been a really positive guy. Profar says, where's the quote I saw from Jerks? It was really, really good. Well, I'll look for it. We can ask Mike Schilt about it.
And on one level even lower, if not caring about, is morning radio show hosts and what they think of you.
I think way down the list.
Way down the list. Which is why you do hear some comments from Mike Schilt when we talk to him every Friday. That will happen next year on 97.3 The Fan. Some big numbers at the Open Championship. Tiger missing the cut at 14 over. Haven't seen a lot of 14 overs next to Tiger's name in the last 30 years. There's one guy who's doing even worse, though. Dead last place belongs to Japan's Aguri Iwasaki. He made two nines in a row on the back nine today. One on a par four, one on a par three. He is not going to break 50 on the back or 90 in his round, and he's currently 20 over for the tournament.
That's how nasty it is out there.
Yeah,
on a par three.
This is one of the harder courses in the Rota, as they do at the British. Troon is really tough, and when the wind blows, and apparently it's been blowing, big numbers. But Shane Lowry still leads at 7 under by 2 over Dan Brown, who's in, got through with the 72. So
amazing.
The unknown guy is going to be in probably the last group on a Saturday. Justin Rose 3 under, and then Billy Horschel, Dean Burmester, and Scotty Scheffler at 2 under. Xander Schauffele, part of a group at 1 under par in the final major of the year. All right, we're going to check traffic. Then when we come back, Paulie's going to have some headlines for us on the Roundel Report.
And get things started here with our edition, today's edition of the Roundel Report.
Now tuned into the greatest.
Welcome to the Roundel Report. With Paul Reindel.
Hi, Paul.
All right.
Two stories from the world of sports that we haven't gotten to yet.
We'll start off in Major League Baseball.
And one story that you didn't know you needed.
Are you laughing, biatch?
It's the Reindel Report.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Okay, how are you?
On 97.3 The Fan.
Are you ready to bless the mood? I need some help, please.
That was good.
Can I get a
All right.
Be careful out there on the roads, guys.
Holy smokes, I know, man. Kelly's had long updates, and I've been kind of in and out as we go to commercial break. But she just said four fatalities in this big accident that happened.
That's heartbreaking,
the 163.
That is heartbreaking.
South. Yeah, that is very sad.
Please be careful out there. It's not wherever you got to get to.
Just take your time.
Take your time.
There's also a barbecue on the road.
That is wild.
Which is also not as tragically sad, but certainly dangerous and odd.
A barbecue on the road.
Yeah.
Some
not a ladder.
Left a barbecue.
Some idiot is started about is having
like
a barbecue.
Grilling things up in the fast lane right now.
Wait, hold on. A barbecue is a grill. I thought she said there was like somebody barbecuing.
No, like their
like a grill fell out
like
of the
Like their
back
Weber
the
grill fell out of the truck.
That's called a grill, though.
We call it a barbecue, too.
But like, you go to a barbecue or eat barbecue.
You put ribs on the barbecue or
you put ribs
steak on
the grill.
On the barbecue.
No, you put both. Steak on the grill.
I think they're interchangeable, at least in Southern California. You're a Texas person.
I thought
so.
You're literally,
on the West Coast, buddy.
I'm not kidding. I thought there was like there was traffic and somebody's like, oh, let's just have a barbecue here on the side of the road.
Patties
no. Yeah.
In between lights.
Yeah. Huh. I'm not real
smoking bright. Some brisket right now.
I mean, that's when I hear barbecue, that's what I hear.
You want side dishes when you hear barbecue.
Well, yeah, but I thought it, so what I would have said is there's a grill. Somebody lost their grill.
A barbecue grill.
A barbecue grill.
A barbecue grill.
You could probably. Okay. I knew what she was talking about. I did not think that there was a guy.
I did.
Hosting a, have a beer while wait for the corn to be done.
Like are people at Grand Ole Barbecue set up off the 15?
Yeah, no.
Yeah, there's a grill.
No, someone had one probably in the back of their truck, and it fell out, and now it's in the freeway.
Barbecue sounds so good.
Sorry, we're interrupting the Roundel Report.
We're hijacking the Roundel Report. Sorry about
speaking
that.
Speaking of barbecues and burgers, my first story is a local story, and it's for you, Woodsy. It's your birthday.
It is my birthday.
I saw that the San Diego Seals have re-signed the captain, Wes Berg.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday to me.
Berger's staying around for three years. It says here he's coming off his season. He had 108 points last year. That was the second most in team history.
He's an unreal human being, number one. He is everything that a captain should be in sports. Nobody plays harder. When you meet him, you're like, hey, how you, he's like, hey, how you doing? And then you see him on the floor, and he is like a cobra. Like, he will just kill you. Like, he's so tough. And he told me the greatest story, how he grew up in Canada. His dad, he has an older brother. And I think there's a three-year difference. And his dad said to him, he goes, look, Wes, when he's a kid, he's like six. And he's like, I know you want to play lacrosse. Your brother plays lacrosse. You better play up with him because I'm not going to two things on the weekend. So if you want to play lacrosse, you're going to play up with the old guys. He goes, I got my ass kicked every day forever playing up with the old guys. He goes, but it sharpened me into the player I am. And he is an elite player.
Glad
and an elite person. Me too.
Side question, because you mentioned that he's like a cobra. What's the scariest snake? Is it a cobra? Is it a rattlesnake? Is it an anaconda?
A cobra. They'd stick their heads up and...
All of the above.
Asps. Very dangerous. Yeah. I think the ones that are in the water.
Those
are like the
water moccasins.
Those, to me, are the scariest snakes. They swim and slither through the water. That creeps me out. But the way the cobra's, like...
The head.
...raises up, that's pretty scary,
bro,
too.
Bro, I would evacuate. Like,
it's like looking at you. Like,
those
cobras. They play the music and they come out of the baskets. I mean, I assume that's a horrible, like, stereotype of something.
No,
like,
we've seen it in the movies.
Yeah, we've seen it in the movies.
Oh,
but
God, it's terrible. Yeah, King Cobra, man.
That's the scariest snake.
Some of them spit, they said. Spitting cobra. He spits at you. I'll pass.
All of the above.
Yeah, all of the above. All right.
I am good. Like, if I go to the zoo, I just avoid
the snake,
the reptiles,
thing.
And the
reptile
snakes.
House. I love going through because there's glass and you're safe and you don't see them.
I'm good. I don't need to see them. I don't need to know that they exist more than I already do. All right. Trying to find some sports stories this week. It's been pretty light, but baseball returns tonight. NFL training camp around the corner. We'll have some better Rinder Report stories. But in the NBA, I did see there was a sign and trade. The rare sign and trade involving Russell Westbrook, who I feel like has played on half the teams in the NBA at this
yes,
point.
He's the village bicycle of the NBA.
He has played on a lot of teams. So he actually, I had to look it up. He was drafted by the Seattle Sonics, but never played a game for them because they were relocated after the draft that summer. So he played for Oklahoma City. He played for Houston. He played for the Wizards. He played for the Lakers for a couple years. And he was previously with the Clippers. And then he was traded to Utah.
The Jazz, yeah.
But they're doing a sign and trade. So Utah is going to waive him and buy out his contract. And then they're going to trade him to Denver.
Or he's going to sign with Denver.
He will
at that
sign
point.
With
yeah.
Denver,
okay.
And he's going to be a Nugget now and team up with Jokic and Murray and try to make another run.
Get
to
him
an
back
NBA
to
Finals.
The championship after not winning the one last year.
Nice. All right. It's a lot of stops for Russ.
Very polarizing player.
Yeah.
Remember,
you hate him.
I don't hate him.
No, you hate him. I remember.
I don't.
The triple-double bit. You hated it.
The triple-double bit is a bit much. But again, some of the triple-double comes with, assists and rebounds. They're always good things. But somehow, I don't feel like his teams ever are that great. The Lakers weren't that great when he was on their team. It just,
Mike Trout.
The best was like the early
double.
Oklahoma City was probably the best version.
He averaged it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had
it's
just
incredible.
Started on the show, I think.
MVP averaged a triple-double.
That's bananas.
Over the course of 82 games. But, the naysayers will say, well, what did you do in the playoffs? So how does your team do?
Right.
And it kind of sucks because he does not have
that Hall of Fame question for him is going to be an interesting one because the numbers will certainly be there.
Oh, yeah.
God, what's he been?
But I feel like there's going to be some people that go, really, Russ?
How much you got left in the tank, man? That's a long career.
And he plays hard.
He just goes
at 110 miles an hour. All right, and then finally, I did tell you that there was a Disneyland story. Now, this made me
laugh. I love
laugh.
A sweet is, Disneyland story.
Kind of sweet. So, Disneyland is celebrating their anniversary. They opened July 17th, 1955. That was
They're
2 days
older than
ago.
You are.
They are older than me. Yeah.
A little 20 older. Years older than you.
Yeah.
How old are they, Woods?
They're 69.
That would be 69 years old.
Congratulations. I hope I see 69.
Now, I did see they're offering for residents of Anaheim.
Okay.
They're bringing back, like, the residents special. You can get a park pass for $69.
Not bad.
It's pretty nice, actually.
Real
nice.
Move to Anaheim, but okay.
Gotta live in Anaheim.
Deal. Worth yeah. it to move to Anaheim for just a $69 pass.
Yeah, you go to Angels Games, I guess.
Angels Games, yeah.
But then,
Ducks.
There's been some discussion because typically, they will say, you know, it's the 50th anniversary, the 60th anniversary of Disneyland. They're going to have merch, you know, mugs, t-shirts, sweatshirts, whatever, with the number throughout the year.
Sure.
Like celebrating the anniversary. Well, Disney. Now, this is not official. It's just kind of speculation. Swirling around on the internets. But everybody is saying that Disneyland doesn't want a bunch of merch with 69th anniversary on it. So they are calling it the Road to 70. Disneyland's Road to 70.
How juvenile.
They're just
going to
spend the whole next year
on the road.
Pre-gaming their 70th anniversary.
I'm on the road to 50, as right now, starting today. The road to 50.
The road to 50.
I'm not 49.
That's
I'm on the road to 50.
First of all, you can always just say, it's our 70th year in existence, because technically...
Well, that doesn't fit on a t-shirt very well.
Well, I know, but
Disneyland, it's our 70th...
Disneyland's 70th year. Like, Woods, this is now your 50th year.
Correct.
On the planet.
Correct.
It's Woodsy's 50th year all year long.
It's my road to 50.
I think they're screwing up.
I think they are, too.
I haven't been to Disneyland in a few years. I'll probably go at some point in the next few years. If they sold Disneyland merch, like t-shirts or whatever, that said 69th anniversary,
everyone's buying
GD
them.
GD right, I'm buying one.
Troy Aikman already took out a trademark on that number, too, I think.
Everybody would buy it.
Yeah.
People that wouldn't normally buy Disney merch will buy it.
That's what they don't really want that, though. They have lots of money.
Who likes selling merch?
Yo, Disneyland is good at selling merch. They're protecting the brand.
There's nothing where it's just a number.
Right. I think they're worried that other people might misuse the brand and the number.
Yeah. Again,
in a way that is out of the context that they intended.
Disneyland didn't officially announce that or anything like that.
They're calling it the Road to 70, so it leads you one to speculate that they don't want to put.
They're
you know,
dancing
Disneyland
around it,
69
trying to avoid it, and then the speculation was, you know, from a bunch of Disney people were like, look, they don't want to
don't
embrace
want
that.
No, all right. Yeah,
made me laugh.
I mean, it's a bit overrated.
Disneyland?
Nope. There's a lot going on. It's hard to focus.
Oh.
Part of the challenge.
I think he means the other.
That part. Is. It is part of the challenge. It's not the greatest.
Usually I can just go to a break after something like that, but I can't.
6 minutes or something. 5 minutes.
I can't. This is now a difficult spot you've put me in.
I didn't put you anywhere.
Paulie put me in this difficult spot then.
I'm just reading the news, man. I mean, it is your
sports headline.
This is my birthday.
Sports headline. Find sports headline.
Johnny said, I thought summer break was over.
You see Brandon Ayuk requesting a trade from the 49ers, Woods?
I did.
Luckily, the gold rush was in 1949 and not 1969.
That's right.
Or 1849 and not 1869. Man, we'd have an awkwardly named NFL team.
He's digging himself in. He's so uncomfortable right now.
So glad Mike Schilt's in Cleveland and definitely not listening right now.
Yeah. The nice little write-up on the skipper, Mike
Schilt. That was.
Schilt.
Yeah, good. There's a segue, Anita. Thank you, Woods.
You're welcome.
Perfect. Yes. Nice little write-up on specifically the success that Mike Schilt has had post-All-Star break, second half of the season when he was manager of the Cardinals. They had a number of runs, not just the one you remember where they stole a playoff spot from the Padres by winning 17 in a row there at the end of, what, the 2021 season.
Yep.
But he's always had a good record post All-Star break for Mike Schilt managed ball clubs.
Well, there was the write-up in the UT this morning, and it was talking to, you know, the guys that really count. It starts, Kevin Acey writes the piece, it says, last month was not a particularly good time for Manny Machado at the plate, and he was clearly tired of the discomfort physically, the failure emotionally. His voice resonated with frustration, and he was asked what kept him going, what kept him believing. He said, Schilty, honestly, is a big factor in this. He's been huge in talking to me about it. That is that it's about the long haul. Just keep working. Don't think about today. Don't think about the 0-for-4 or the losses, whatever. Just keep working, keep working, keep working. Bjerkes and Profar in the same article was like, I love him. I absolutely love him. He believes in us. And they did say, somebody did say,
Joe Musgrove
said, we've gotten our asses chewed a few times this year, which, again, you know, he's never going to tell
which
you.
Which will surprise some people because of how relentlessly
positive and supportive.
And supportive he is publicly. But we've always kind of suspected.
We've suspected it. And
that
again,
things are a little different behind closed doors.
Bro, the thing that makes the most sense in my head when I think of Mike Schilt and his players is me and my kids. I have absolutely chewed their asses out. You know, absolutely.
But you'll tell us about it then.
I'll tell you about
it.
I'll tell you guys about it. He will not.
He won't tell us about it. Is he doing himself a disservice? Because fans would love to hear, five-game losing streak, not playing well.
I lit him up.
I had some things to say to that team in the locker room after the game. And he won't tell us that,
but
even though he is telling them that.
But he gives back. He gives love and knows when to drop the hammer. You know, no one's going to listen to a guy, you know, after everything that's happened here, no one's going to listen to a guy that walks in day one. He's like, oh, that's my way. You better listen to me. Like, not at this level. It just doesn't work unless it's a team full of rookies. That's the only thing that's going to work on. But when you got veterans that have been doing this for 10 plus years, it's just not going to fly. And it seems, and again, as I've said all week, don't get it twisted. All of that means nothing, you know, unless they figure out a way to make the playoffs. But the guys are certainly pulling for their skipper. That is something very, very new that we have not heard any glowing reviews about any manager since we've started the Ben and Woods program.
Ultimately, if you want to keep your job as a Major League Baseball manager, yes, there have been some managers who've like lost the fan base and eventually it becomes a problem. But first person you don't want to tick off is the owner. The second person you probably don't want to tick off is the general manager, Bob Melvin. And then after that, it's the players. The fans are well down the list of people that you need to please as the manager of a baseball team. And Mike Schilt does understand that. He knows he appreciates the fans and knows that the organization needs them. But for his job in particular, what the fans think of Mike Schilt is fairly irrelevant.
Correct.
I believe.
Correct. I do too. I really, really do. And yeah, again, you can appreciate that. Certainly, and he's not going to pander to the fans, but what he will do is take care of his players. And again, this article that came out today, it's a positive article because he's been a really positive guy. Profar says, where's the quote I saw from Jerks? It was really, really good. Well, I'll look for it. We can ask Mike Schilt about it.
And one level even lower, if not caring about, is morning radio show hosts and what they think of you.
I think way down the list.
Way down the list. Which is why you do hear some comments from Mike Schilt when we talk to him every Friday. That will happen next year on 97.3 The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone.
Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.